So here I am beside Shelley, my muse, touching his gravestone. You can see it's flat on the ground. And if I touch this exact corner, if someone were to come here, he or she could touch this exact corner. You see, I'm touching it with my index finger, and someone could touch the place that I've touched and somehow commune with him, as though I've got some strange connection with him beyond the grave. So he's been dead for over 200 years, died at the age of 29, who never had a payday of work in his life, lived solely by his quill. That is Percy Bysshe Shelley, who had at least four children, his ancestors alive today. And then his son, Sir Bysshe Shelley, inherited the baronetcy, lived on to be a bit of an establishment figure, and indeed Lord Lieutenant of Sussex, went to Harrow, and I think Oxford University. And then Percy Bysshe Shelley's reputation underwent rehabilitation. And exactly the thing he would have hated was to be co-opted by the establishment in the late 19th century, and his writings published again. Some of his most celebrated poems, such as Ozymandias, was only published posthumously. But the later collections of his writings were purged of the radical content and the atheistic utterances. And that's why in 1893 he was memorialised in marble at UNIV, University College Oxford, the college which sent him down for refusing to answer questions about the necessity of atheism. So that would have been the final insult. So his literary afterlife was absolutely scintillating. And beside him, here is Edward J. Trelawney, a Cornishman by ancestry, as you can tell from the surname Trelawney. So Trelawney purchased a plot beside him, arranged for himself to be buried here. Trelawney died in the United Kingdom and had arranged that when that happened, his corpse would be shipped out here, buried in Cimitero a Cattolica, just south of Rome. This was considered outside the city centre in those days. So Shelley was obviously fascinated with Rome, and he was brought up on the lore of ancient Rome and ancient Greece, and here he is buried almost literally in the walls of Rome. You see, that is the city wall. So they only set this up in the 18th century. There's obviously very few non-Catholics here. It was not a Jewish cemetery. It's for public, sometimes known as a Protestant cemetery. And so, yeah, so he died at Livorno. And then, as I said, his ashes were interred in this cemetery, not at this exact place. I'm not sure where else the cemetery, but they're buried here somewhere a little bit more prominently. Indeed, his friend is buried just a small distance over there. We can't quite see his grave. I mean, I'll get there eventually, but I mean, so if I walk over this away, and there's a low wall, obviously there's an opening in it so we can get through to it. And then Oscar Wilde, when he was released from prison, he did what all Britons do in sexual disgrace. He moved to Paris, but he travelled around Italy with his lover, Bosi, and he came here, wrote poems about the graves of Keats and Shelley. But I know you say, oh, he's Irish, but you know, we are British. So there's the pyramid, but that's from ancient Roman times, nothing to do with the Egyptians, they're sort of copying it. Where is the pyramid? Is it through the light? Yeah, you can't see it. Well, actually, I'll walk all the way and you'll see how short it is. I have to go back for my little plastic bag. And in Oscar Wilde's poem, he mentions that pyramid being there. I'm not sure why the Romans built this one. It's nothing like the big pyramids at Cheops or whatever, or, you know, Giza, just to the west of the Nile, near Cairo. Okay, and so it's surprisingly how sparse this place is in graves. So it's privately owned, there's no public fund money, and they solicit a €5 donation to keep things in good nick. So a lot of the American expatriate community were buried here, and people who didn't even die in Rome chose to be buried here. So yeah, goodness, we'll get there and I'll show you what it's like. So Keats had died at that house, Keats Shelley House as it now is, by the Spanish Steps, on the 23rd of February 1821, and buried here 3 days later. His friend Joseph Seven, the doctor who'd accompanied him on the voyage out for the United Kingdom, was here to arrange it. And unlike Shelley, because obviously Shelley didn't see his death coming as it came so suddenly, John Keats had decided what his headstone would read, had plenty of time to contemplate mortality. His tuberculosis had concentrated his mind, to borrow a phrase from Dr. Johnson. So he'd set sail from the UK that September, arrived in Naples a few weeks later, had to spend a week quarantined on shipboard, and then when they landed, spent a week in Naples to gather his strength to make the land journey up to Rome. And here he is. And then you see Joseph Seven, his friend, is buried right beside it, just like Trelawney. They weren't gay lovers. And here is the grave. This is the grave that contains all that was mortal of a young English poet who, on his deathbed, in the bitterness of his heart, at the malicious power of his enemies, desired these words to be engraven on his tombstone: "Here lies one whose name was writ in water." 24th of February, 1821. Look at the lyre as a lyric poetry, and look at the daisies. We used to pluck daisies that grew here. So again, only someone's laid a rose. We're very, very close to it. Okay, Arthur Seven. I didn't realise that. His baby son was buried here. I've been here before, but I've forgotten about that. So that's the two of them. Okay, so that's how close you can get between them. And so notably, Keats doesn't have his name on his headstone. Here lies one whose name is water, perhaps thinking of the ephemeral nature of all his works. But in fact, his oeuvre is amongst the most celebrated of any poet in any language, though he shuffled off the mortal coil at the age of only 25. Right, anything else to mention about him? But Seven must have died, well, years later. I don't think he died in Rome, and his body brought back here. Okay, so that is Keats, Shelley, and they're often mentioned the same breath as the Keats Shelley Association, which is still going. Now, yeah, so Shelley's got descendants. Keats never wed, had no children. He wanted to marry Fanny Brawne, but he didn't have very much money. And then it became clear he was dying. About the age of 23, he knew he was terminally ill. And then coming out here prolonged his life by a while. And he spent roughly 100 days in that house by the Spanish Steps, which has been owned by the Keats Shelley Association since about 1906. Right, so that's it. Well worth visiting to connect with these people. But quite apart from that, it is a lovely cemetery, very well kept. You see all the myrtle bushes and such, so forth. For the Anglophone expatriate community, unless they were Catholics in Rome, they tended to be buried here. Okay. Oh, I was about to say, there's a Star of David, Magan David, a Jewish person, because otherwise I thought that there were Jewish cemeteries where they would all be laid to rest, because Rome had a significant Jewish community till the Second World War. It still has one, it still has a big synagogue, but it's much smaller than it used to be, obviously. They mostly shifted to Israel, those who survived. Anyway, so well worth coming to. You see that mentioning Humboldt, not the celebrated 18th century German explorer. The Humboldt brothers isn't the Humboldt University in Berlin, is it? The Humboldt current off the coast of Peru. Well, I could be mistaken. Maybe it's them. I noticed a nephew of William Wordsworth is buried here, who died here at the age of 4, and so on. Okay, so some affluent American expatriates. Well, I assume they were affluent to afford a grave here and to be even spending time in Rome in the 19th century. So that was it. And some of them were archaeologists, academics, and obviously Protestant clergy. I know it's the city of Catholicism, but I mean, it's so important in theology that various Protestant churches established themselves here. They weren't even allowed to be built till the 1870s, till the Pope no longer controlled the city. Anyway, and what are these bushes? Evergreens. Shows what I know. I am no arborist. Thanks for watching my video. Bye-bye.